The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back to Hot Takes and Deep Dives, and I am here with my good friend. You know him, you love him. It's Zach Peter from hashtag No Filter.
Hi.
Hi. And not only is he from the podcast hashtag No Filter, but he is also co-headlining. Are we calling this a national tour? Kind of. You are crisscrossing the country.
We're all over the country.
I mean, you did L.A., and Nashville already in the can. And in 2 weeks, you're going to be in New York City at the City Winery. And I'm going to be there with you. I mean, TBD what I'm actually going to be doing, but we're going to be doing something together.
We're going to be having a lot of fun together and drinking a lot of wine together. That's for sure.
So I originally pitched this idea to Zach. I texted Zach like a week or two ago saying, is this a good, because Zach and I guess you guys may know just from like my guesting on his show, like we are super close and we talk maybe five to 10 times a day.
Yeah.
It's like constant. Yeah. And so we're always like sort of like pitching ideas and like thoughts to each other. And I just randomly messaged him, what if we did something around Bethany's talk show, the 2013 to 2014 talk show that she did, the one season? Like, I know that all of the videos are still up on YouTube, which I want to get into the mechanics of that. But I was like, is this a good idea or no? And tell me what you responded with.
Absolutely. Well, because also to add context, 60% of our conversations involve Bethany Frankel. Like, unintentionally, like every day we're just like tracking Bethany and like going back and forth about like what she's doing. Today she's like a TikTok beauty guru. Tomorrow she's, you know, doing the matcha latte comparisons. Like, she's all, and then she's promoting, you know, Skinny Girl Bologna. That like, she's so all over the place that keeping track with her is just a part of what keeps our friendship ignited.
When I said, is that a good idea if we did a deep dive on her talk show? You responded with,
yes, because I watch her talk show religiously. Like, I literally go and just watch these videos on YouTube over and over. I was just the other day, before Jess even pitched this to me, rewatching all the Omarosa videos when she was on the show, which, so good, by the way.
Just to get out of the way, why?
I find Bethany so fascinating, and I just love to watch her. And also, like, she was a terrible talk show host. Like, she, like, was good, but also was very, like, she was never going to be Oprah. She was never, like, she doesn't have the bedside manner. She's very, like, hostile with her energy with people. But I just thoroughly enjoyed, like, the chaotic energy you get when watching it, because she's so, like, you know, Bethany.
So we are going to, I mean, I stayed up all night watching. It's just Bethany, like that's the channel name, and it is nothing but clips from the old talk show. How many subscribers do you think this channel has?
Maybe 10,000.
It has 106,000 subscribers.
Really?
And some of these videos have over 2 million views.
Wow.
To which I am wondering, who is getting the AdSense money? Like, where is that going? I guess it's the production company. Like, is Ellen just getting that money?
Yeah, she has to be.
What a bitch.
Isn't that insane, though, that that's still performing that well all these years later?
It shows the power of Bethany. So before we fully jump into the deep dive on Bethany's talk show, I want to touch down with you on, I want to hear the highlights, the lowlights, the rose, the thorn, the good, the bad, the ugly of your LA and Nashville shows.
It's interesting because I've not even had a full chance. Like, I'm still in the process of processing all of this. And I've done many big events in the past. Like, I've, you know, done things. I thought I knew what I was in for this tour. And it has been, well, because also for additional like details, so we're going on tour. It's not just myself. It's my partner in crime here, Adam Newell, who hosts a successful YouTube channel called Up and Adam. And so we both cover reality TV news. So on these different stops, we're bringing some of our friends on with us and a lot of reality stars. So in Los Angeles, we were at the Bourbon Room. We had Tom Sandoval, we had Tom Schwartz, we had Sheena Shea, and we had Brock Davies all in the show with a number of other Bravo bloggers and podcasters. We also had MJ from Shaws of Sunset there. We had Captain Sean from Below Deck. We had Dr. V, who's been on a number of Housewives shows. We had Guy Tang from Netflix's Bling Empire. So it's like one big reality TV party. We were just in Nashville. We had Molly Hopkins and Cynthia Decker from 90 Day Fiancé. We had Emily D. Baker, who I know has been on your show before.
Queen.
Jess, in New York, we're going to have Margaret Josephs from Real Housewives of New Jersey. So it's a really fun sort of, I mean, a lot of people have compared it to like a mini BravoCon where you have all of these like favorite people that you watch on TV, but it's obviously beyond just Bravo and it's beyond just reality stars because we have, you know, like Faces by Bravo, Jeff Epstein,
Ryan Bailey.
Ryan Bailey. So all these podcasters that people are following, now you're actually getting to come and hang out with us too. So it's a real fun sort of experience. But what most people don't realize, and it's funny because I'll read some of the comments people write, like there was literally a photo. It was a photo that Adam and I did in for the promotion of the tour. And people are like, wow, your art director is amazing. Whoever you hired to do this. And I was like, I'm laughing with Adam. And I'm like, people don't realize this is just Adam and I. And Adam has a fiance, Jason, who's helping us too. But like, every detail from stuffing gift bags to sponsorship negotiations to booking talent to booking flights and hotels, like we're doing every single detail of every bit of this tour. We do not have an assistant. We don't have anybody that's on our payroll. It's a lot. And we're putting the show on and hosting it. So it's been overwhelming, but it's been a lot of fun, I have to say.
How close have you been to a nervous breakdown?
Oh my God. I didn't after LA. I think I was pretty solid through LA, but then having to immediately fly out to Nashville and go and do that show, I've had a multiple meltdowns since the Nashville show because there's just such a process. Like there's the physical exhaustion of producing an event and traveling. And also like our nights don't end until like, you know, 12, 1, 2 in the morning. And then we have to be up early the next morning for whatever the next day is going to hold. And then just like you take on so many people's different energy when you're getting to meet. And it's so exciting to meet everybody. But like some people have really exciting energy and some people have really anxious energy. And you're taking all of that on. And then you have to come home on the plane and like process everything. And the challenging part too is Adam and I are also living together on this tour as well. Like we stayed together in an Airbnb in Nashville. Mm. So there's the personal dynamic of like getting to know each other and building the intimate friendship that we have that's been so incredibly great. But that also comes with its own, you know, challenges as well.
Yeah. Oh my God. All right.
Getting
so
to know somebody is like, you know, it's a lot. And I'm like, no, I don't like people.
Well, yeah, because I don't know if people real. So like you're obviously, you know, born and raised like Kyle Richards, you're an LA boy and Adam lives in Miami.
Yes.
So you guys are like totally across the country as you've been planning this. And then he's come in for like photo shoots and things like that. Okay, so I want to get into the nitty gritty. Give me the rose and thorn of you. If you want to do, the LA show, because I know the LA show had a lot of moving parts, but I want to hear about Sandoval and Schwartz. Give me the highlights, the lowlights.
Rose and thorn of LA. The rose was definitely being that it was one hell of a successful show. And I gauge success based off of experience that people have, and people loved, talent was so happy, guests were so happy, getting to meet everybody was such a special experience. Also having the wine, like this is the first time I've been able to have the wine with other people at, you know, an actual venue before, because the wine's all e-commerce. So that was, the event was a success and I was very happy with that because there was a lot that went into putting that together. The thorn, we had some entourage that was very unhappy. I got screamed at 3 times right before going on stage, right after the stage. There was somebody's posse that was very unhappy.
One of the talent people.
One of the talent's people. So not the talent in the show. All talent in the show were so happy. And Adam and I spoke to everybody afterwards the next day, all so happy and supportive of us. entourage made some drama that was like a lot to deal with that night.
Why was this person displeased?
It was really a miscommunication of the details of the event. There were certain details that they claimed they weren't aware of that I thought we did a really good job of disclosing from the very beginning. Like, there was never anything that I was trying to hide from anybody. So I think there were just certain details that were, you know, unbeknownst to people that they were upset about, because I guess they felt like they were finding out in the moment at the actual event, when I was like, you know, we've had conversations and this really just seems like a miscommunication.
Right.
But the talent was incredible. I mean, the toms were sloshed by the time they got on stage, because the show started a little late and just like went 2 hours long.
Yeah,
and
I told you, Zach, you need to button this up. I told you people can't focus for more than like 60 minutes. Like, for New York, you need to keep it tight. Yeah, you got to start on time and get people out in an hour.
And that was what worked really well in Nashville, is like, we had the show a lot tighter. We moved through the pieces a lot more because we're learning as we're going. But the thing with LA is we had so much talent. We had Steve from Faces by Bravo, Jeff Epstein, Jolene Lunzer, Ryan Bailey, Tom Schwartz, Tom Sandoval, Sheena Shea, Brock Davies. And they were all on stage at different points. They were not all on stage together. So we had bits that we had worked out. We had games that we were playing on stage. Like, it was a full variety show that we were giving people. And that's, you know, that's very challenging. So I think we had even kind of lost the audience a bit by the end of the night, because when the toms were on stage, like, people were drunk and like, get to the point, Tom, like yelling from the audience. I was just like, oh my God. And then Tom Sandoval wants to do a full show in production. So he comes out on stage and they bring their Tom's Good Love and bourbon and their whiskey. And he's trying to, you know, pour it out and do an experience. And he bought these like crystal glasses that we needed to do a clink with on stage so that people can hear the sound. Like, he wanted to create the full experience. But in the process of waiting to go on stage, I think everybody was imbibing and having fun. And so he even like dropped the table on stage, with spilled all of the drinks. Like, it was just such a cluster.
Who had to clean that up?
The venue afterwards. Like, we kind of were just like, okay, there's like all of this that's happening. And I'm sitting there and I was looking at Schwartz, because Sandoval was on this side of me and Schwartz was to my left, and Schwartz is talking and I'm having a conversation with Schwartz, not even realizing that Sandoval has gotten up, picked up the table on the side, and is trying to drag the table over so that it's front and center. As he's dragging the table, it tips over and then everything just falls. I just look down and I'm like, and there's like beer flying and bourbon flying. And I'm sitting there in my very expensive Christian Louboutin shoes. And I was like, I didn't even know what to do because it caught me so off guard. And watching the footage back, and I'm like, I literally just sat there in shock with my jaw open. But I was also like, I am not about to put these real expensive shoes in this Coors Light puddle on stage. Like, it was just such like a hot mess express, but it was like such a fun experience at the same time. Cause like, how many times can you say you got Litty City with the toms?
You told me that someone in the audience during the show, and somebody in the audience just yelled out on stage, "Why are you still wearing your wedding ring to Schwartz?" How did he respond to that?
So we wanted to be very mindful of what questions we asked, and we were asked to kind of just be delicate with that topic. So we had two questions that we had agreed on that Adam and I were going to ask in relation to how he's doing. And it was really just, how are you doing? Are you guys still living together? There was one other question that we were asked to cut that we cut from it, but we were told like, just be delicate and, you know, get it out of the way and then divvy the conversation elsewhere. And so we were trying to do that. And then there was someone in the audience that happened to be related to me, unfortunately, who got real shitty. And she just yells up on stage and she's like, "Well, if you're okay, then why are you still wearing your wedding ring?" And I'm like, oh no, oh no, oh no. I'm about to get yelled at again off stage. And so he very politely was like, "Look, I'm not wearing it because I'm still holding on. You know, I'm wearing it because like, I'm not ready to let it go yet. I'm still grieving this relationship." Whereas I think with Katie, she has had time to think about and process it before she made the decision to come to Tom Schwartz with. And she talked about that on her podcast, that like, she had a process that she went through. Tom is still in the process of going through his process and grieving the loss of his relationship, which I'm sure is very challenging because he didn't see this coming.
Wow.
She and Brock were great too. Like, I actually love and adore Brock. I know people hate him and they think he's thirsty or whatever. I adore Brock.
Wearing the same pants?
We didn't notice that until we saw the photos afterwards. We literally were wearing the exact same Zara black torn jeans. He's obviously a lot taller and larger than I am, so he had a much larger size. But it was kind of funny because we're sitting next to each other on stage and you can see that the rips are in the exact same places. Like, it was clearly the exact same. And the thing is, I almost wore that exact same shirt from Zara that he had on too. I thoroughly considered wearing that to the show. Which would have been hilarious if Brock and I went out with the exact same outfit.
That is hilarious. Oh, boy. All right. Well, listen, I'm excited for the New York show. I pray that you don't make me do trivia, and on to the next. All right. Shall we? Are you ready to deep dive into the one season wonder?
Let's jump in.
That is Bethany. Okay. So last night, I watched so many of these Bethany clips that as I was falling asleep, like, I felt like I had reached the end of the internet. Like, I'm afraid to go back to YouTube because I'm going to be traumatized by more clips of this show. Like, as you were saying, it's so intense.
And
like, I hate the color palette. It's like too much. Like, Wendy Williams, like, had it right with, like, you gotta have like a calming color. Bethany's was like yellow. It's like, it was like attacking the eyes. So to sort of like paint the picture, this year was the 2013-2014 television season. So this aired during season 6 of Roni, the year before Bethany came back. So to give some context, Dorinda was not born yet. Erica Jane was not yet born on Beverly Hills. Like, isn't that amazing? Like, that was the time we were living in.
I know. And we really thought, oh, Bethany's going to go all the way with this. She's broken the mold for Housewives.
What do you think of the show? Like, in general, like, do you have any like favorite bits she's done? Because she had literally nearly every single New York housewife with the exception of Carol on, which is so interesting. Like, she had all the OGs, not Jill Zarin, but she had Heather Holla Thompson. She had Kim Richards on, all the New York girls, Lisa Rinna.
Brandy Glanville.
Like, what are the most memorable things that you keep going back to?
Well, I think the Brandy Glanville interview had to be retaped. I think there was an issue. I want to say it was Brandy, where she went up and there were questions that, or there it was a topic of conversation that was not allowed to be had. And Brandy's publicist made them reshoot the entire interview from the beginning because.
But how do you know that?
Because I think Bethany revealed that somewhere. Bethany said that because I think she may have been asked, like, what was her worst? Like, I tell you, when I love Bethany, I've gone into all of the Bethany. And I want to say it was Brandy Glanville that she said that the publicist was so unhappy with the topic of conversation, which Brandy seemed fine with, but the publicist literally made them retape that entire segment, which to me is crazy that would even happen. But, like, it was so chaotic, the talk show, because, like, you have moments where she's, like, got, like, somebody in the audience that's like, I love your dress, Bethany. She's like, you love my dress? Here. And she just takes her dress off and, like, gives this random woman a dress, like, in the middle of this, like, production. It was just so intense. And it was very Bethany, but it doesn't work when you're an interviewer and you're in that sort of controlled, structured environment.
I thought that the best clips that they have on there are definitely not the interviews. Although I did enjoy the Andy Cohen interview because they played her audition tape. They play her audition tape in which she's like talking to a cab driver. Like, people should look this up. And then at the end of when they flash back, they roll the tape and then it cuts back to them sitting on the couch. And he's like, are your boobs bigger in that? I just thought that was really funny. And then there's a whole other episode. The clip is titled Bethany Discusses Her Boob Job, which I was quite compelled by. There's another like audience. I enjoyed the stuff with the audience where they would have like style experts come in. One that I was fascinated by was, did you ever watch the eyebrow clip where it's like how to do your eyebrows, or like they had two or three different women, and like one of them was like overly tweezed, like, you know how like in the 90s everything was super tweezed, so like her eyebrows are totally fucked. And so it showed how to like sort of pencil them in, where they should begin, where they should end. And then this other girl had fuller eyebrow. I'm just sort of obsessed with eyebrows in general. This was like very catered to my interests. I found this, like, I was like, oh my god, I've hit the gold mine of the internet in this clip. So seek out the eyebrow clip.
I will. I love eyebrows.
That's a strong recommendation from me.
Okay. I feel like I've probably seen it. I just haven't seen it recently. And when I see it, I'll fall back in with it. But I feel like at that time when the show was airing, I wasn't into eyebrows. Where now, after having to stare at myself on camera for multiple hours a week, now I'm like very fixated on all of that, all of those tutorial types of things.
Yes. What do you think the trick is with eyebrows?
I think the trick is making them look full. Like the ends, I think a lot of people, you know, don't pay enough attention to. And too many people focus like on this section, which also just makes your eyebrows look crazy. Like you just have to like very lightly, finely, you know, make sure they're fluffed, make sure they're full. The brows are the real key to like a great face. Like the brows are what make your face, and people underutilize how important brows are.
When I interviewed Isaac Mizrahi for the first time, within the first like minute of the conversation, he was like, I love your eyebrows. And I was like, we're done. Thank you so much.
I hate that this Gen Z is trying to bring back the really thin eyebrows. I'm like, let's not go back to that era. Like the Pamela Anderson pencil thin eyebrows, they're trying to make them come back. And I'm like, let's don't do that.
What are your thoughts on waxing versus threading the eyebrows?
Threading, I think, is by far superior to waxing. Or for me, I know I would always break out when I would get my eyebrows waxed. I went to different, some people are like, oh, well, that just means the wax is bad. But it's very, like I would go to different people, like different places, and I always kind of just had the same issue. There was only one woman that I didn't have that issue with, but she was like real flighty and did my eyebrows a little too thin. It's hard to find a good brow person. I now have had the same threader for maybe like 4 years now. When you find a good person, you have to keep that good person and never spend $5 on eyebrows. It is not worth it. Someone is going to fuck it up at some point.
Agree. And listen, a good like eyebrow pencil, I forget who makes, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It how do you pronounce it? Is it Anastasia or Anastasia?
I think it's Anastasia.
This Anastasia, you can get this at like Sephora or wherever. Yeah. That is a great, like if you want to like fill in your brows, like highly, this is not sponsored.
No, it's not.
Okay, back to Bethany. What do you think the most viewed video is on her channel? Do you think it's an interview? Do you think
it's got to be an interview? It's got to be an interview. And I'm going to say, that's a really hard one. Maybe because there's the Ramona interview, right? And that's where Ramona stole the dress. And so that I think people would want to look up because it was brought up on Housewives. But then there's the Andy Cohen interview where we have her audition tape. But then there's the Martha Stewart interview where they get into it. Yes. But then there's the Omarosa video, which is the spiciest one of them all, because that was the most feisty, where they actually like had a spar for words. I'm going to put my money on the Andy video.
The most watched video,
it's not an interview,
on this channel with 2.5 million views,
it's the boob,
is titled What Do Men Prefer Down There, which I watched, and they never even bring up men. It's just Bethany asking audience members if they wax, laser, or shave their body hair, like legs.
No.
They don't even mention men. Like men are like not figured into the conversation.
How ridiculous that is the most watched video. But I mean, that also goes into like, that's a niche I think Bethany could tap into. It's like,
I think it is not, I think it has nothing to do with Bethany. I think it's literally people Googling what a men prefer down there. And this is coming up and they're like, who the fuck is this bitch?
Right. But then we have the waxing and then we have the brows. Like this is an untapped territory that I don't think Bethany has approached yet in terms of like, you know, beauty, not beauty, but like personal care, personal hygiene. Like what women can do to like improve or bring out their inner skinny girl. I don't know. I think that sounds like an untapped market that Bethany is yet to tap into.
And but wait, have you seen what she's doing lately? With she's doing this thing. I guess it's on TikTok. This is actually brilliant. Whoever came up with this idea is brilliant. She does half of her face using like drugstore, like CVS, over-the-counter like makeup. Oh, everything's over-the-counter. But using CVS, you know, no frills, not fancy makeup. And then she does the other side of her face using like Chanel, whatever expensive makeup brands there are. I don't even know. And she asks the listeners, like, which side of my face do you think is the expensive side? And in the end, she's like, it actually doesn't matter. Like, it's all the same shit.
Yeah, I know. I've watched those and I've started to enjoy those because, I mean, one, I think she has a little bit of a filter on that kind of high, like, or, and then she has the ring light. Like, it's not as, like, I don't know. She's learning her way as, like, a beauty guru on TikTok, but I'm appreciating the journey because it's a far stretch from where she started with doing, like, her Starbucks matcha latte, which we thought was the most hilarious thing because she's like, here's the one I get from Starbucks and here's the one I made myself and now I'm going to taste test them. And she closes her eyes and one's in a mug and one's in a Starbucks cup, like two clearly different beverages. But she's like, I'm going to close my eyes and do a blind test of each one of them and let you know which one I like better. And I just found that hilarious.
Like, I would think with all of her licensing deals, like, why do you go for, like, Skinny Girl Bologna when you could do, like, Bethany Beauty? And she could license, like, get that CVS drugstore makeup, throw the Bethany name on there and be like, this is the best stuff. I bet you she's going to do this.
I don't know why she hasn't.
I mean, especially after doing this series that she's doing. That would be a next step. I mean, if I was working with her, I'd be like, this is a thing you should, this is something that like would actually sell.
Bethany skincare, Bethany cosmetics, Bethany hair care. Like
at one point she was going to do Bethany luggage, but I don't think it ever came out.
Like what are her biggest, her selling products? There's the shapewear, there's the Skinny Girl Margarita, and there's the jeans.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all very catered to like women and what women want. Like Skinny Girl was great because everyone wants a low calorie cocktail that's already made for them. Jeans are great because they're very form fitting and they shape your body. Shapewear was great because it made women feel more confident. Luggage is such a random miss. Bologna, such a random miss. You know, even, I mean, I guess her sweeteners are fine. I see them at Marshall's all the time, but like, I don't know. I just think like she needs to tap more into, you know, helping women, especially because like on her TikTok and on her Instagram, she's like, this is me without makeup and this is me unfiltered and this is my hair care. Like the, I think that's definitely a direction she needs to go. And she needs to leave Forever Young Wines alone and dive into this new market.
You briefly mentioned Ramona stealing the dress for people. Yeah. Yes, this was an entire storyline on Roni, but for people who missed it, can you summarize the Ramona stealing the dress, which originated on this talk show?
So yes, Ramona came on Bethany's talk show, didn't have a dress. I don't remember why.
I think she didn't like her dress. Like whatever she brought, either like it didn't, maybe she lost her luggage. Who the fuck knows?
Yes. And so Bethany's like, oh, it's okay. Here are two dresses that you can borrow, whichever one you want to wear. Go ahead and wear it. That way you have something to wear on the show. So she goes on, she wears Bethany's dress. She leaves with, I think, both of the dresses that Bethany was going to loan her, steals the, or takes them from the set. One, I think she was still wearing, and then just never bothered to return them to Bethany. And Bethany's like, how do you just take somebody else's dress and then don't even bother to give it back to them? And Ramona's like, well, I didn't even know that I still had it. I didn't realize that I had taken it from you. And she's like, here's an Instagram from 2 weeks ago of you wearing the same fucking dress. Like, what, you're lying to me now. Now you're like creating this whole thing. Like clearly, you know, that dress wasn't yours. Ramona is just something else.
I do recommend the Kim Richards interview. She is really going in on Lisa Vanderpump, like Kim Richards is, and like basically like fully exposing her as like sniper from the side before it was like fully out in the open. The Luann interview. Luann goes on twice, once solo and then once with Sonia. I'm very into like reading people's body language, and Luann's body language toward Bethany in the solo appearance she's like leaning back. She just clearly doesn't want to be there. And Bethany would not, did not stop talking the entire time. Like she barely like let Luann like say a word. And the funny thing is in that interview, Luann briefly mentions Carol and Bethany's like, oh, who's that? Meanwhile, she'd been already on an entire full season. She's like, oh, yeah. Who's that? And she's like, oh yeah, you know, the princess. And Bethany's like, there's a princess? She's good for her. As if she's never heard of Carol Radswell. Also, we know that Bethany and Carol were invited to Andy's Christmas party. So like, there's no way she didn't know who Carol Radswell was. Just even from, they live blocks away from each other. Or they lived blocks away. I just found that really interesting to think, to weird to believe they never cross paths.
No, I'm sure they definitely cross paths. But I think having people said that, like with Bethany, like there are times like she just doesn't remember people because she like just doesn't. If you're not important to her, she doesn't shelve it as you're something. And when I say important, it's if you're not somebody that I can gain something from, if I can't use you in some way, if I can't, you know. And I don't think Carol's the type of person that would have really given her the time of day had they not been in Housewives world together.
I would say so. Oh, another interview I loved when Tracy Anderson was on and they were getting into it over like working out. Like Tracy's like, yes, you need to exercise all the time. And Bethany's like, no, you don't. And meanwhile, Tracy Anderson is like an expert and has her own studios. And like, this is her entire career. What did you think of that?
I really like Tracy Anderson. I know she's had a lot of like controversy for, you know, how intense. I know like she had like body shaming issues at her studios and stuff. I thoroughly enjoy her. I've interviewed her before, actually. It never ended up coming. Never came out, though.
Whoa. Why?
So I interviewed her for Pop Sugar. And back when I was writing for Pop Sugar. And then the editors, I guess, just after the interview were like, she has too much like ties to like this, you know, anti-body positivity, you know, sort of messaging that we're really trying to put out there. And I guess they just didn't feel like she was a great representation for their audience. But I mean, I love Tracy Anderson and had a great time chatting with her. I was so bummed that we couldn't have released that interview.
Wow.
But I mean, I can understand how her and Bethany would have that kind of spar because Bethany is someone that doesn't really acknowledge her own biology and is somebody that's like, if you just, you know, follow my way of life, then everybody will be a skinny girl. And it's like, but people's lifestyles are different. People's biology is different. People's genes are different. That like, it's not going to be as easy for everyone as it is for Bethany to just be like, I'm just going to have a handful of almonds today and, you know, some hummus and I'm going to be good. And
okay. When she is out to dinner, like a lot of her Instagram presence is just her taking photos of food. It's like plates of pasta and all this shit. Do you think she's taking pictures of strangers' plates at a restaurant?
No, I'm pretty sure she's ordering that. Her thing has always been like, you can have whatever you want, just have a one bite of it. So I'm pretty sure she's ordering all this food and just having like one bite of pasta and one bite of this. And, you know, I mean, I read Skinny Girl Solutions or not Solutions. What was the first book? Naturally Thin. And in that, the model is, you know, you can, she has like different little tricks. So she's like, if you want pasta, then go and have like two bites of pasta and then change the flavor. Maybe have a bite of ice cream so that you're no longer craving the pasta because you got the satiation of having the flavor of the taste of the pasta. So you're just constantly taking a bite of four different things. That way, you know, you're constantly switching your palate.
Wow.
So she has a whole system and the system works for her. I just don't know if it necessarily works realistically for everybody else, you know?
Now, this talk show and her podcast have a lot in common in that it's the stuff like she has to keep returning to Housewives. Like you'd think if she has her own talk show, she would not want to feature Ramona Singer on that talk show. Right. Yes.
Right. But people are interested in Housewives. And I think she was smart enough to, or whoever was working for her on that show and producing it was smart enough to know that that was what's going to get people interested. Mm-hmm. But once you go to Housewives, then I think you kind of set that standard. And I think that's what she really did. I think a lot of people didn't want to go on her talk show because she was the housewife and they were like, I'm not going to do that. So they kind of needed to lean into that world of Housewives. But then once you lean into that, that's really all that you have.
She had people from every city. I think she had Kenya on. Like she had, oh, I think yeah. she had Candy on. Like tons of people
Jacqueline
from Atlanta.
Larita, yeah.
Can we talk about her podcast? Have you been following like the latest, like in the last month or so, like what's been going down over there?
I heard the one that we had talked about with the Pete Davidson and why she hates reunions. That was, I think, the last one I listened to.
It's all clickbait. It's hilarious. Like, yeah. it's all clickbait. And she does default to like, when Not All Diamonds and Rosé came out, she came out with like, I'm going to do my series on, I'm going to do my thing on The Housewives. And she really can't help herself with like the Housewives talk. She even talked about Erica Girardi. Like the original premise of the podcast was I am interviewing like Mark Cuban and Hillary Clinton. And now we've devolved into talking about Pete Davidson's dick.
So many times too.
So many times. And like Kanye West, just like the bottom of the barrel. You know how she used to structure it? Like she'd have a rant in the beginning and then an interview.
Yeah.
Now she's releasing episodes like, last week, she released like 3 or 4 episodes in the week, but the episodes are like 13 minutes long and it's just the Pete Davidson dick part. And like, that's an episode.
Yeah, it's not like a produced piece. Like, it's really just like a rant. She's like, let me hit record. Let me rant about this and let's put that out there and treat that as like an episode. It's very different from what people have come to expect with podcasts.
I think it's so interesting how she does have to keep reverting to housewife stuff. Like the name of the episode, which was so clickbaity, was like Housewives Reunions. 90% of that was, I think, about Pete Davidson. And then for like literally 2 minutes, she like referenced Housewives Reunions. Yeah. She didn't even say anything. She literally said nothing.
I think it was called like Why I Hate Reunions. And so it makes you think like, oh, she's going to give us the dirt on Real Housewives Reunions. And it was, yeah, like you said, it was mostly about Pete Davidson and how he's a star fucker and how he's banging all these women and it's giving him more fame. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of it, she somehow like connects that to like reunions. I don't even remember what she said about reunions, but she was just like, she referenced them very lightly and is like, that's, you know, why I don't like reunions. And then
it
like,
had
that
nothing to do with anything. It was so strange.
It was so random.
I was reading Molly Shannon's book, which mm-hmm. came out last week, and it's phenomenal. And in the book, she talks about how when she was in Serendipity, I think, her father was dying, and her father said to her, small parts, like do small parts. And it immediately made me think of Bethany. Like if you look at Bethany's talk show, it's too much of her. And if you look at the podcast, it's too much of her. It's too intense. Truly, whether she likes it or not, where she thrives is in an ensemble cast where you get little doses of her. I don't think she's going to find a better venue than Housewives.
Right. Or reality TV. I mean, I think she shines best when she's able to be a personality that's just in the mix rather than somebody that's driving the train. Because when she's driving the train, it's moving with such a veracity and intensity that it's not palatable in the long run. I think that's why like Bethany Ever After kind of worked, because you had Jason Hoppe, you had her other team mm-hmm. members where she was just a piece of that. And they were also shorter episodes. I think they were only like 30 minutes. The mm-hmm. seasons were a lot shorter. So it was like, you know, packaged in a condensed way, but she had other players to play off of. And I think, you know, the talk show was very much about her. And again, her energy is just so intense, even in the interviews and stuff. Like it was just not, like she doesn't know how to talk to people in a like a long form 10 minute interview. You know, she like fights with them and berates them. And then the other thing that's really important, and you understand this as an interviewer, is you control the energy in an interview. So if your guest comes in chaotic, you have to be the one to balance it out and level it out and make sure that they feel safe and open enough to be open with you and have a great conversation. And she just does not have that skill set.
She steamrolls.
Yes.
It's like she has her agenda and she doesn't really listen.
Right. And that's not a bad thing to have your agenda, but you need to know how to work with the pieces you have on the table to get you from point A to point B and sometimes or point A to Z. But you need to go through all the other motions and pieces to get there. And she just wants to trailblaze directly there in her own way. And you have to realize that when you have other people that you're interviewing, you have to go around the pieces that are going to get them to get you where you want to be. You're ultimately in control, but you can't get there just by bulldozing through it.
And ultimately, the big shot with Bethany was actually amazing. Like, if we like get real about it, that was the greatest time of our lives. We had so much fun. We were not, I mean, we were annoyed by it because it like made no fucking sense. But she was she great on it? I'm trying to remember. Was she mental or was she great?
I think she was great because we saw her, we got to see more. Like, I didn't love her in like that mentor sort of role where she was like the judge and she had to like eliminate people. I didn't love that role of hers, but I loved her when she's on the photo shoot and she's like having like, she's like, what the fuck is going on? Why am I not like, when she was being Bethany or like in the opening scenes with her team and she's talking about how she hates social media, like, you know, or we see her like bopping around New York City. Like those were the moments that were great because we really got to see Bethany. And it was shot so beautifully. Like the production value of it was incredible. It was like Housewives next level.
I can't get over her blowing that Mark Burnett deal and claiming that she decided that it was a bad deal. Like, what is she talking? Like, how did she fuck that up?
I think she was very specific about what she wanted. And I think maybe they gave her a shot with the big shot. And then they realized, all right, maybe her judgment isn't the best. Because think about it, she's never produced a successful show. She's had multiple shows that she's tried to produce. Mm-hmm. She had Food Porn. She had the big shot. She had her Frederick and Bethany show. Mm-hmm. None of them ever really worked or developed beyond one season. And so I think, you know, they're the pros. And so they're probably like, this is what we think works. And she was probably like, no, this is what I know is going to work for my brand and what I want. And it just wasn't a match. And I just think there was no compatibility. And she was probably very difficult to work with.
Dipsy is the first ever app to feature sexy stories, sleep scenes, and wellness sessions. Dipsy is designed to spark your imagination and turn off your stress brain. Research shows that 90% of women use their imaginations to get turned on. Every Dipsy audio story is an immersive fantasy written and produced by their in-house story studio, By Women, For Women. They bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and characters, no matter who you're into or what turns you on. For listeners of Hot Takes and Deep Dives, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/deepdives. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsystories.com/deepdives. Again, dipsystories.com/deepdives. dipsystories.com/deepdives. What do you think she is going to be doing in 5 years?
I mean, she has to go back to reality TV in some way, shape, or form, whether it's Housewives or not. Like, that's her comfortable medium. And that's where she's able to really sell herself. Like, that's where people will want to buy her products. Listening to the podcast, I don't think is really giving very much. And I don't think it's going to be sustainable for her in the long run. Her TikToks are cute, but like, I don't know if she knows what direction she's necessarily going in. She's kind of just throwing everything at the wall and waiting for something to stick. But if I could take a guess, in 5 years, I would say she's going to be back on television. She has to be. And she's smart enough to know, just like Housewives last time she came back, she was smart enough to know when it's time to fold your cards and go back to what you know. I don't know if she'll ever go back to Housewives specifically because I think the ego won't allow her to, but I see her returning to that unscripted reality television eventually.
Did I tell you that I found Brynn's private Instagram? Yes. I think it's I Am Brynn Peanut, and it's private, and it's followed by Bethany and Dorinda. It is her. And I was shaken to my core when I saw the name. You have like your username, Brynn Hoppy. It was there in black and white. And I was shook. Like, how does Bethany, like, I could not deal with my kid having the last name of this guy that I was barely with, but yet had a kid with, and then proceeded to ruin my life for a decade. And also, she has the same exact face as Jason Hoppy. I couldn't live. That combo would drive me off a bridge.
Yeah, especially because, you know, Bethany is very ego-driven, that she wants everything to always be about her, that having to see Jason's face and his name.
It's Jason Hoppy in a blonde wig.
I'm pretty sure she's having a really tough time with it.
Do you think?
Yeah.
If I'm thinking about it, she's got to be thinking about it.
There's no denying that Jason's in there.
Did I ever tell you, or I don't, maybe I told you, but I don't know that I ever mentioned it on this show. Did I ever tell you how I once called into her SiriusXM show?
Yes. Okay. You loved that show.
I loved her SiriusXM show. This was during season 8 of Roni, when she and Carol were like really had this budding friendship, and it was the season It's Not About Tom, when like all the So Carol would like guest co-host with her a few times, and all they did was talk shit about Luann. It was really funny. It was like really good. One, and she would take calls, just like Dorinda now takes calls, you know, like anybody, Sandra Bernhard, they all take calls. And one day, literally, I guess I was working from home. I don't know why I was home, but I was listening to it live, and I called in and they took my call, and I asked, "Will you ever write a book about your divorce?" And she said, "Yes, I want to write a book on how to not get fucked in your divorce." Cut to present day. She hasn't written a book since, except cut to present day. She has written a book. It's coming out next month, and it's a fucking business book that nobody wants.
Business is personal.
Where's my divorce book, Bethany? You told me it's coming.
I mean, I think that, like, and we've discussed this, like, that's something people would be interested in because they want to know about her divorce. But I think it's because, like, with Brynn, like, she wants to so far get away from Jason Hoppy that she's just like, I'm not even going to touch that. I'm not even going to go in that direction because I don't want to drag all of that up again. But it's like,
but she does on the podcast in the context of like Kim Kardashian and Kanye. She does allude to her divorce, and she does say, if I were Kanye, I would do XYZ relating to the kid. And then she talks about Pete Davidson again in relation to the kid that is being shared, or the multiple kids, whatever. So she's not opposed to it. Where's the book? That's the moneymaker, baby.
She's trying to build herself as this like Gary V Shark Tank serial entrepreneur. And that's like the direction that she wants to go in. I think she thinks that that's going to be the next wing of her career, is she's going to be a Gary V. And she's going to be able to be like, I'm a serial entrepreneur, and here's my advice, and here's my motivational YouTube video, and here's my book about business. And I just don't think she has that, especially because I don't know if she's really a successful businesswoman as much as she's a successful reality star. She's had smart marketing moments, right? And she knows how to speak to her audience, but I think she's blinded by her ego in a lot of it. And I don't know if she's really going to be the next Gary V. I think nobody's interested in that from her.
Rate these in order of entertainment value: Bethany the talk show, her podcast, Big Shot with Bethany.
I'm going to go with Big Shot at number one. Number two, I'm going to give it to the talk show, because obviously we're still talking about it and watching the video clips. And I'm going to throw her podcast at the bottom because I don't particularly find it that interesting. Number one, I mean, I think there are moments that we talk about, yes, but also for me as a podcaster who is doing this full time, it's insulting to see somebody like her go up and not give a shit and just have her hair a fucking mess and to have these cheap ass microphones and to just be like, I did it and I'm a successful podcaster and I'm on the top ranked charts. And I'm like, no, bitch, when you go broke because of the debt that you've had to rack up to build a podcast, you'll know what it means to be in the top 100 charts. I've worked from the bottom up. I can call myself a real, true, successful podcaster. That pays my bills. You came in with a built-in platform and audience, and it's disrespectful for people that actually do this sort of stuff. Just like I think it's disrespectful to people like Gary Vee, who actually came from nothing and built successful businesses from the ground up. She had Skinny Girl, but she also had Bravo that gave her an opportunity to market Skinny Girl. And that's not to say that she wasn't successful at it and she didn't strike a good deal and she didn't learn a lot. I don't want to take away credit from her. Credit's due where credit is due. But I think she has this level of delusion to think that she works a lot harder than she actually has without acknowledging the benefits that have come and the success that she's been given as a result of the opportunity that she was given.
So you never listened to her Sirius show?
I never had SiriusXM.
Oh, I guess I would actually throw that at the top.
I would only catch the clips. Well, you didn't give me that as an option. You only gave me three options.
Well, I only thought of it now. But if I'm ranking, I'm going to put that at the top.
I don't have SiriusXM, but I watch a lot of the video clips that are put out, like for Jeff Lewis or Andy Cohen or all of their shows. I catch the clips. Her talk show was entertaining, but I think it was a little more structured, whereas the podcast, I think she's just kind of like,
Yeah. You have no, can I tell you how good Jeff Lewis's Sirius show is? It is a reality show. He turned it into a reality show. It's brilliant.
I mean, it gives you that fix that you had from, I mean, I think Flipping Out had reached its run. That I think he's such a great personality. And I think this is a natural forum for him that I think he's going to thrive in.
It feels like, in a way, it feels like the Howard Stern show. Like he's got his assistant who's a character. Yeah. He's pulling in the people from his real life and making them characters, which is the Howard Stern model. Yeah. Like Jeff Lewis's show is better than Andy Cohen Live, which like actually sort of sucks, if I'm being honest.
But I think with Andy, he's doing so much that he doesn't even really give 100 to anything that he does now. And you can see it. Like he's fatigued. He's tired. He's a dad. He wants to retire. He wants the money, but he doesn't want to be doing all these million things anymore. Maybe they're a little fun sometimes, but you can just tell there's like a fatigue within him where he's kind of just over it now.
Speaking of being a dad, he mentions wanting to have kids in his interview on Bethany's show. I thought that was interesting because this was like years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked that part. And I also liked when they're showing her audition tape, Cookie is with her in the cab. And like that sort of like pulled at my heartstrings. I was like, Cookie.
I know. R.I.P. She really
Cookie da Boo Boo.
She really loved Cookie. Like that was her baby. And I mean, if you think about it, like Cookie was there through her side through like a lot of the big stuff.
Pour one out for Cookie.
You have your little baby that like you, I'm sure it hits you a lot more than it, you know, hits me, and it still hits me.
Yeah. Zach Peter. You said it all. tell people where they can listen to your podcast, when the New York City date is, how to get tickets.
Yes. So April 28th at City Winery NYC. You can get tickets at spillingtealive.com. Jess is going to be there with me on stage. We have a number of incredible talent. We have Anthony Lario, Tom Hamlet from the Dumpster Dive podcast, DJ Richie Sky. It's going to be a fun lineup. We also have Margaret Josephs that's going to be there. So Adam and I are going to be putting on this very fun variety show for you guys. April 28th. You can get your tickets at spillingtealive.com. My podcast is called Hashtag No Filter with Zach Peter. It's available on all podcast platforms and available to watch on YouTube. I do have a wine line that's called No Filter Wine. It's Housewives inspired. So we have fun slogans pulled from Housewives that are on each of the different cans. We have a rosé and a white. Both are sparkling. That's available at nofilterwine.com. It's 13% alcohol by volume. So it'll get you litty city, but there's no sugar. So you're not going to have a gnarly wine headache tomorrow. But yeah, those are my things. I have a tour, I have a podcast, and I have a wine line, Jess.
And who is coming up on the podcast?
Well, I just had Craig Conover on the podcast, which was fun because I was literally going through all of that with Jess where I was like reading his book and getting ready for that interview.
Will you share the review of the book that you shared with me? It won a prize in your eyes. It made it to number one of a list.
Did it?
Yeah, you said it was the worst Bravo-related book you've ever... You said it was the worst book you've ever read by a Bravo celebrity. So that's notable.
That is notable. It was very... There wasn't a lot of anything new that I learned in the book. And I mean, the book is called Pillow Talk, What's Wrong With My Sewing.
I love that you're holding it up like you're selling it. Wait, you know what's hilarious? Right? Look what I have right here. This is a preview of an episode that I filmed or that I recorded the other day.
Oh my God, I love it. No, I mean, listen, I love and adore Craig. The book was not, I've read a lot of juicy Bravo books and a lot of like heart, but like he also didn't write this book. He had a ghostwriter. And I don't know. I like when people write their own books and we get like a sense of them. I love and adore Craig and I would bang him in 2 seconds. Wouldn't recommend the book necessarily, as Jess has now outed me for.
I love you, Zach. You're the best.
Love you.
And tell everybody where to follow you on Instagram.
My personal account is at Just Plain Zach. So that's where you get like more behind the scenes stuff. And then my show account is at No Filter with Zach. That's where you get all the Bravo reality TV tea and news and stuff.
And you go live. I love your lives that you do like one. How often do you do this? Once a week?
Yeah, we used to do them 2 times a week, every Tuesday and Thursday. And then once the tour, planning for the tour started, mm-hmm. I dialed it back to just once a week. And right now I haven't done any of them because mm-hmm. I've been on tour. But usually Thursday evenings is when we go live and we pull out the wine and we just have one fun hell of a time.
Guys, Zach is hanging on by a thread. Just follow him. Listen to his podcast. Go listen to Craig. The Craig interview, he actually charmed me. You have your YouTube channel is thriving. You are a budding YouTuber in addition to being a full-time podcaster. I love you.
I love you.
Thank you. Guys, you can follow me, JessXNYC. You can watch our beautiful faces as we talked about all this shit over on YouTube. just go to Hot Takes Deep Dives. My name, Jess Rothschild. It will pop right up. You can watch clips from all past interviews. And Zach and I will see you on the 28th in New York City.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.